This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Hey, listen to Wrestling Roundup on Free FM, RFM, and MP. As always, I'm Grady, and live on Discord, we got Josh.
Hey!
This past weekend was Backlash. 5 matches on the card. Let's run them down. I'm just going to go bottom to top. Bron Breakker, Seth Rollins. They clashed for the longest match of the night, and Bron came out on top.
Yeah. Little Tom Furry, but it was a really good match. Breaker, I do think it was the win that Breaker needed at the start. If they're going to do like a series of matches, Breaker needed to win the first match. But yeah, it's just definitely was a brawl, absolute brawl. Both guys brought it, and we'll see where they go from here, but yeah, it was definitely a plus for Bron Breakker.
Yeah, I think in terms of where they go from here, it's getting a little wishy-washy. Like, if we look at Raw, clearly the Street Profits are wanting the championship still. Joe Hendry still is taunting and hating on Logan Paul. That does leave you a lovely 3-on-3. Seth Rollins orbiting all of that. He's got beef with Bron, and his beef with Bron just got the Street Profits attacked, which kind of annoyed them. So Seth doesn't really... He's got his own thing. He doesn't fit on either side of the fight, really.
Yeah, that's kind of been Rollins' thing for the most part since breaking out of the Shield, is that he does things, people suffer, and it never really comes back to him.
Yeah, it's, as you say, very interesting to see where it will go. I don't know just yet. Could it be a world where Seth Rollins maybe takes some of the group back and Bron gets out? That's kind of where we thought maybe it was going to head to a while ago. We'll have to see how it all develops week to week. Next up, the United States Championship was on the line. It was a rematch. Trick Williams is newly crowned champion going up against Sami Zayn.
And Trick Williams had the new champion buff. Hopefully this is the end of this page of Trick Williams' title reign. We move on to something else, and we get some sort of crash out by Sami Zayn.
Yeah, I think, especially the way, like, he won the title just to get his spot on WrestleMania, immediately lost it, then all of the stuff with the Gingerbread Man, with Lil Yachty. Sami Zayn is definitely, like, a trigger here away from exploding. And I agree, I think Trick's beaten Sammy twice now. We can move on from this part of the feud. They do both have decent directions to go. You know, the United States Championship has been pretty openly defended lately. I'm sure that SmackDown mid-card that's still super talented. Anyone can step up into a feud with Trick, and can't wait for Sami Zayn to burn out, as you said. Ultimately, I do still think Trick Williams Carmelo is my personal end goal, but I think it might be a little too soon in the year. We got to put at least one or two more feuds in there, but we'll see. Maybe they go ahead with it straight away, and all of this is invalidated on SmackDown this week.
Yeah, who knows?
We had a tag team match. We knew The Miz and Kit Wilson were going up against Danhausen and his... partner, if he could find one. Couldn't find a partner, instead invented a cloning machine. It kind of worked. It cloned out a Minnehausen, and then later on cloned a bunch more Minnehausens in the middle of the match. Danhausen won.
Yeah. It was just pure fun. Pure unmitigated fun. I don't know where they're going, but it is fun to see them trying to curse Kit Wills, and Kit Wills blocks it with a mirror. And then Miz tries to use the finger fire extinguisher, but it blows up in his face, quite literally. And this was just pure fun. And that's the best part of wrestling, is when it's fun.
Yeah, I was thoroughly sports entertained with this one. And along with Penta, which is my partner's favorite wrestler, I think. I haven't asked explicitly, just from vibes. I think Danhausen might be a number two. I read the entire Backlash card to them, and they were like, well, I want to watch the Danhausen match over everything else on the card. And I was like, okay, this is what we're going to watch then. It's working.
Yeah, he is a bigger star in just the 3 months since he had his infamous debut than he ever was in AEW. It's going to be huge when he wins a title, because I think the crowd is going to go bananas for it. Who knows? He might win the John Cena Classic.
Yeah, I can't stop. Like, Danhausen still wants The Miz to mentor him, and I feel like this whole feud with Miz and Kit, that's where we're going to go. And I can't stop seeing a match graphic in my head with Damian Priest and R-Truth on one side and The Miz and Danhausen on the other side, as a, you would have never expected any of these people to be involved in this match, but they are, and it probably would explode. R-Truth and Danhausen in the same match, I don't think that's physically capable through the laws of sports entertainment, but hey, we'll see.
It'll be fun. If that happens, it'll be fun. I kind of still want, honestly, I still want Kit Williamson to still be dealing with and working with Miz and Danhausen even after the tag team happens. It'd be great to see Miz mentor both of them.
Yeah.
But it's just going to be fun no matter where we go from here. We know this does have a ceiling. We're never going to see Danhausen as WWE champion, but we're going to have a blast while we watch him.
Yeah, and you mentioned in there the John Cena Classic. I guess it's a good time to talk about that announcement. Felt a little half-baked, but John Cena comes out, announces a competition to showcase some of the NXT folks, some of the main roster folks, similar to the Saturday night's main event with his final match. There'll be a fan vote. There'll be a championship. Even if you lose your match, you can still be fan voted as the champion. Novel, at least.
I mean, it's different, and it'll be interesting to see if it's like something that gets defended, or if there's constantly a poll and the championship can just change hands because the poll just decided this person can't be champion anymore. We'll have to keep an eye on that and see how that plays out. I'm fine with it. I don't have a real problem with it because, it's something that showcases the young talent and gives them something to do. So I'm fine with it.
Yeah, to me it feels like one of the Saturday night main events, maybe later in the year, might get rebranded to, you know, the John Cena Classic, where it's just kind of, you know, NXT versus main roster. as you said, that's always good, especially it introduced, and it's exactly what Cena said, it introduced us to Solrika, it introduced us to Obafemi, it introduced us to Javon, it introduced us to a bunch of people, and if this is their way of continuing that, all for it. I love championship belts as trophies. I don't like trophies as championship belts, NXT. Keep that in mind. But, you know, giving a champion...
At one point, FCW had a medal as a championship.
We don't talk about that.
Even though the match is pretty good. 15-minute Ironman matches, of course.
But yeah, given the winner of this a championship belt, even if it's not defended, it's just, you know, like a trophy, and then we'll run the event next year and we'll give a new champion, a new fan vote winner, and then we'll run it again and run it again. I'm cool with that. Nothing in the announcement like scared me, or I didn't want it. It all sounds fun. We'll see how it actually turns out in practice. It did feel a little half-baked, needed a little bit more time in the oven, but we'll see once it's formally announced with all the details out how it all goes. The next match on the card, it was the second longest, 18 minutes, and as much as it hurts to say that is 18 minutes they would not have gotten at WrestleMania, Asuka, Io Sky going head-to-head.
It was a dang good match. It was also a definite torch passing match. I don't know what's going on with Asuka. It seems like she did re-sign last year in 24 with the multi-year, so it's questions, but it also sounds like some of the things I've heard is maybe she's semi-retired. And so she's going to be featured less often and stuff, and that this was her way of making Io the number one Japan talent in the West. It's also possible that she may just have some stuff that she needs to do at back home, and she'll be back in a few months, and it'll be as if this never happened.
Yeah, I don't... Obviously, there's a lot of things up in the air at the moment with the contracts and with people going away. I watched the match and I watched the aftermath and I was like, she looks done. And then, you know, Raw comes around and she says goodbye. Seems pretty definitive, but there is still... her character is gone. What happens after this? You know, did she not take the pay cut and just say, like, I'll work this one last match and then I'll head out? Did she, as you say, cut down to a more part-timer, come back for 3 months a year? Is she full retired? Is she just going to head back to a Japanese company? There's a lot of different options of what's going to happen that all is decided by the person, less than the character, but... If this is the end of the character in WWE, I think it was a really banger match to do it on and passes the torch to the right person. Sky really should have been focused on, has been in years past. Little disappointing to miss out on WrestleMania, but as I opened the description with, they would not have been given this amount of time on WrestleMania. They'd have been given 8 instead of 18, and I don't think it would have been the banger that we did get at Backlash.
Absolutely.
And then the main event, Roman Reigns, Jacob Fatu, the World Heavyweight Championship was on the line. Fatu, if you thought the Breaker of Rollins match was a brawl, well, Fatu decided to unalive Roman Reigns during their match with the way he was fighting.
This was a fight. This was not a match. And it's not over. Honestly, with the stuff that he did on Raw, I half expected him just to shout, I'm not through with you. Obviously a reference to something that happened like almost today, like 12 years ago. But yeah, it's just, this is elevating Jacob Fatu. It's further storylines and stuff. And it's just, even though Roman won the match, did he really win? I mean, he's still champion, but he got demolished after this match. And got demolished on Raw, along with Jay and Jimmy.
Yeah, I think Jacob Fatu has come through so strong lately. Whether it was, you know, him beating Braun Strowman, if you think even further back, or him coming through Drew McIntyre with their feud there, and now going against Roman Reigns. I think losing against Roman Reigns a couple times for the World Heavyweight title is going to do a lot more for him than capturing a mid-card championship. He is being positioned and portrayed as that main event guy who, when he is unleashed, nobody can stop him. As you pointed out, he attacked Reigns like twice on the pay-per-view. Nobody was stopping him. He was biffing Adam Pearce out of the ring. He was just annihilating him, and then shows up on Raw and says, hey, let's run that back, and takes out all three members of the original Bloodline, which, you know, is a tough ask usually.
Yep. Especially with the fact that he put all three of them through a barricade at the same time. That is, I think, something else. I mean, we've seen wrestlers just wallop Reigns and the Usos individually. We've never really seen a 3-on-1 go poorly in the favor of the three.
Yeah, it is. It's typically, you know, the numbers game in the favor of the Bloodline. It was not the case today, or this week even. And it really, it sets you up to go like, hey, are they going to pull the trigger on Jacob? Are they going to give him the world championship? I don't think they will, but it gets you questioning it when you first get the match at Backlash. You're like, ah, they won't do it. You're like, well, if they're willing to beat up Reigns this bad, will they? Maybe. It gets you thinking, and it builds Jacob up even further.
Yeah, literally the only thing that was missing was them putting Reigns in an ambulance and having the ambulance get tipped over. That's literally the only thing that was missing. Which is why
I might be next week.
That. Yeah. I have, obviously, I think we're going to get another match. We're going at the next pay-per-view. I don't know. Who knows? It might be the Saturday night main event. I don't know. But if this feels like the main event for Clash of Italy. Mm-hmm. And honestly, there's probably a 50-50 chance that they pull the trigger based on stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, let's go into our entrance theme, because when we come out of it, we can talk. I think another match has already been made official for Clash of Italy, but first, for our entrance theme, it is going to be Asuka.
Nature.
And you're back for Wrestling Roundup on Free FM, RFM, and MPR. I'm Grady, he's Josh. I was slightly wrong. Hasn't been made official, but we're looking at potentially a Cody Rhodes-Gunther collision at Italy.
Yeah, it'll be interesting seeing exactly how all this works out. It's very possible that that actually does the main event for Saturday Night Main Event, which happens beforehand. So it's just a question of where they want to do that. But yeah, it's very clear that these two are definitely on a collision course. It's just a matter of when.
Yeah, I think when you look at SummerSlam, you know, still potentially over Femi Roman Reigns, potentially you could have Gunther holding this title here. If Oba does pull the trigger, you're potentially looking at a champion v champion match if we're doing Crown Jewel this year. With Gunther Oba, there's a lot of good stuff down the pipeline that it'll be interesting to see. There's like so many things lined up. Which triggers are they going to pull? Are we going to take the title off Cody again? Are we just going to give it to Jacob? And then we've got to rethink all of our plans down the line for this year. Is Oba going to spin off and do something else? Is Brock Lesnar going to be available for SummerSlam? Or is he fully ridden off into the sunset? Questions abound. One thing that I had a lot of questions about, and I don't anymore, Intercontinental Championship. It looked like we were going to get a Fatal 4-Way. In fact, even on Raw this week, it looked like we were going to get a Fatal 4-Way. It seemed Penta, Evans, Ethan, and Rusev still all clashing in their different combinations. But as far as I can see, official for Saturday night's main event is just a one-on-one. Penta, Ethan Page. It wasn't exactly the combination I was expecting. I did see a Fatal 4-Way. It could still get changed.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's still a couple weeks before we get to that Saturday night main event. Because it's next weekend. So There's still possibility on Raw that they may have them jawing at each other and then have Rusev and Javon Evans run in and fight. And then they say, screw it, we're having a Fatal 4-Way for the Intercontinental title. But honestly, I'd rather have the one-on-one.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if I think that Ethan Page is winning.
That's fair. We'll see what spins out of the Intercontinental title scene, but we at least have, you know, we vaguely expected that title match, be it in whatever combination it was. I wasn't expecting a AAA Mega Championship match on Raw this week. With Dominic Mysterio defending against Gable Americano. That was not on my bingo card.
That's fair. You know that there's still that back pocket for the correct El Grande Americano to get a title shot in the future for Dominic. But it was fun to see that on Raw. It mostly just played into the mass versus mass match on the 30th.
I want to read directly from the WWE.com transcript, and I want people to try and follow this. As Los Americanos and Los Americanos Hermanos brawled into the crowd, El Grande Americano suddenly emerged on the apron. Original El Grande Americano quickly grabbed his adversary. It's getting out of hand, guys. It's getting hard to read. There's a reason we refer to him as Gable Americano and Kaiser Americano, but now you've got two Los Americanos because you've got the Creed brothers, and it's all it's hard. But as you said, it is all that mask versus mask match. I'm hyped. I imagine being in AAA that thing's getting a whole lot of time and can truly be the sort of crowning moment. We know that Kaiser Americano does technically still have his Rey de Reyes shot, but I would rather that after the mask versus mask stuff is all sorted out, that's the bigger match. Funnily enough, it's bigger than Kaiser getting the championship. It would be Kaiser overcoming Gable here and unmasking him.
Just we've got to get somewhere, and it's just, for the love of God, end this with Dad Gable. Let's get him back, and maybe we can still salvage something with him and the new Alpha Academy with the Creed brothers, because it's been way too long. The injury was sad. It took way away from the storyline, but we need to move on.
Yeah, we definitely do. And we only have a couple minutes left to talk about it, but I do want to mention the Obafemi Open Challenge. Nobody wanted to answer it, which is entirely fair. I don't think personally I would want to answer that one.
Nope. Which then resulted in him doing what's classic with Giants doing and beating up on a tag team. Because why not?
Yeah, I think there's something funny about nobody stepping up and him going like, well, fine, I'll just go get my opponent then, and just picking up the first two people he sees and just hauling them down to the ring. And they're like, these are my opponents. Let's go.
Yeah. It's fun watching these. There's a limit to how many we can see, but it keeps him busy. It keeps him relevant, and it keeps him, quite frankly, strong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he looks terrifying, and that's because he is terrifying. Well, that is all we have the time for this week. It's been great talking to you.
Bye-bye.
You can visit our Facebook page, facebook.com/WrestlingRNDUp, our Twitter page, twitter.com/WrestlingRNDUp, or our YouTube page, youtube.com/WrestlingRNDUp. And we will catch you next week. Got no time to waste. Tonight's the big go. Strike quick but creep slow. The competition is absent the moment that we show. Countdown from three, go. Press X to reload. Deadly still try to topple the kingdom that we own. Outnumbered but outgunning. We're fearless and crowd stunning. Never win ever on record. There's no one to protect you. This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.